So fathers, that can conjure up a lot of different things, perhaps a lot of emotions, perhaps some can be suppressed. But the four things that I would want to leave with you today here is just perhaps a better understanding or more of awareness of the significance of fathers, despite what society, most of society states. In doing the research for this sermon today, it's overwhelming the stats that show when a father is absent or not present, how that negatively impacts a child. And thank God for mentors and father figures who step up, and for single moms, which is near and dear to my heart. But also want to talk about the wounds. It wasn't until too long ago that I even realized that as great as my father is and was, that I even had wounds, because I didn't have some traumatic life experience. But I've learned about the wounds that I do have and the healing that needs to come with that. Want to talk about the fatherly correlation, how it relates to our lives now, and also a father's challenge and the calling. Plenty of scripture throughout the Bible. I've selected a few here for us to go over, but we fathers have a great responsibility. Again, not to take away from anything what mothers do at all. In fact, it's overwhelming what you do and what my mom has done in my life. But fathers, here it is, and you. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We have a direct correlation between us as fathers and provoking our children. In Colossians, it talks about fathers, something similar, do not provoke your children as they will become discouraged. Our relationship with our children, mine who are sitting here today, there are times where I have negatively acted out of anger. And I have discouraged them. I've hurt them. That's a great responsibility, a responsibility that we can, by knowing this and being informed, we can make the decisions that honor the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have a legacy to leave. I'll share a little bit about my story. But, my dad, I was not discouraged in the faith, but I was not led. I was not encouraged, per se, to it. Big responsibility. Charles Spurgeon adds from Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, but be sure to go that way yourself. It was very convicting for me to read, as there have been many times where I will say one thing and do another. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. God corrects me because he loves me. And it's that loving, many times gentle and graceful correction that he gives me. I can laugh sometimes how many times it takes me to actually get the point. There's times where I'm like, all right, Lord, I get it. Just help me to do this and not to continue to fall into that same struggle. But we can encourage our children that we're correcting them because we love them. What I'd add to that is that sometimes I didn't know how to correct my children. Sometimes in the early years, it was often done negatively out of anger, done with yelling. I had a struggle with punching certain objects and things. You know, I never had the struggle of putting my hands in terms of hurting them, but that's a struggle I share with you guys, because I know many of you have seen fathers or personally struggle with that negatively acting out of anger. The Lord corrects me in a patient and kind way, in a way that I did not always see or do. So it's about knowing how the Lord corrects us, and why he corrects us is because he loves us. And now when I get to correct my children, I get to correct them in a patient and kind way. I've learned, I've worked how to do that in a way that would honor God. But it's through my struggles that I've learned that. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. That's a pretty strong statement for me. I don't know what that does to you guys or if that conjures up any emotions, but I was confused on this for a while because I didn't know how to discipline my children without doing it out of anger. I just didn't know how to do it. And it wasn't until one of the ministries offered here, called Shepherding a Child's Heart, that I learned God's way of how to discipline my children in a loving, encouraging fashion. Before I talk a little bit about growing up, Billy Graham says this: a father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Now, I'm not here so much to talk about that. I don't bring that up to necessarily just to talk about that, but it made me ask the question, why would Billy Graham even say that? Why would he need to say that? I mean, isn't it evident? I think it just shows where our society is at. You know, many fathers have taken the back seat, have become passive. We've had movements that have discouraged a strong, loving, leading father. So I think it begs the question for us, why would that be said? Why would that even need to be said? And are we truly meant to be the spiritual leaders and valuable assets within our society? Growing up, I had stated earlier that my dad was and is a good father, no doubt. He sacrificed a lot and still does for his family, for my two sisters and I, for my mom. I'm grateful for that. But I had to recognize that there was actually wounds. You see, I didn't have this big, like crazy negative life event that just made me like have a complete distant relationship with my father or impacted me so much. So it took a while and it took another series. It took many of you in here, to come alongside me and ask those questions, not to just bring it up, but I had issues in my life. Where were some of those issues coming from? I had not dealt with some of these things. My dad was absent quite a bit for a relatively good reason. He was working to provide. You see, growing up in Wyoming, you're pretty much either construction, the railroad, or oil and mining of some sort. I mean, that's just what it is. The whole state's like 500,000, right? I mean, it's incredible. So he was gone. He was construction. My dad worked hard, one of the hardest workers I know. But he was gone. He was gone at pivotal times in my life. He'd be home on weekends, sometimes every other weekend. And I remember times where he'd have to go to New Mexico for work and we'd be gone 3 weeks in a row. Some of the vivid memories I have were being 8 years old, crying at the door, not wanting my dad to leave. Just not wanting him to leave. I needed him. Obviously, still affects me to this day. I don't think my dad had a negative bone in his body about that. He just was doing what he had to do. I also recognize that it was a different generation. We have a lot more options nowadays in what to work, at least seeming options. But it doesn't take away from the fact that my dad was gone. I remember, especially being a teenager, needing him to show me some things. And on the weekends, it was so much about taking care of the yard and doing things with family. It didn't leave a whole lot of time for him to show me some of the things. And I'm not going to put this all on my dad, because I realized that what had happened was some of this is I became distant somewhat to my father, came distant to my dad. And so I didn't really feel like I could go to him with questions, and sometimes I just got pretty good at trying to figure it out on my own. Grandfathers, great-grandfathers. I have an amazing extended family. But there is no doubt some of the decisions my grandfathers and great-grandfathers left have left a huge negative impact on my generation. Some of the actions that my great-grandfather and my grandfather took were cruel, nothing short of cruel and mean. I had so much anger when I found out some of the things they did. My family has an issue with a couple things. The main ones that strike our family are negatively acting out of anger, passivity, believe it or not, and I think it's affected our relationships in a very negative way. A lot of our relationships. They're wounds, no doubt. You know, when we talk about fathers, some of you, again, may just want to not really think about it. Because there's such a wound there. It's obvious that you have a wound. For some like me, I had to delve into, why do I act a certain way? Why, when my 3-year-old son at the time spills some milk, why do I get angry? Why do I yell? He's 3. Like, I love him. He's 3. So it was those kind of questions that had me look into this a little bit and understand, and this is where healing can come. But those wounds, no doubt, that topic of fathers and wounds is stacked with emotion. Maybe you had a wonderful dad and a lifetime of happy memories, a few not good ones. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. Praise God for that. Maybe you've lost your dad. Maybe there's a huge wound there. Maybe your dad tried his best, but just simply wasn't a great father. Maybe he tried hard. Maybe your dad was a heartless and cruel man who did things that scarred you, that scared you. Perhaps he was just a vapor to you and walked away a long time or a short time ago, leaving a gaping void. You see, if our father was angry, there's a good chance that we could have felt like we've experienced no love. We could also feel like at times that we would have had to perform for his love. If we felt abandoned in some sense, no father, we could feel distant. If our father was unpredictable, meaning not sure what he's going to do, what mood is he going to be in when he arrives home? Was he passive? Passive in the things that he should have been leading on? Did he even care enough? These are all questions that we can ask and wounds that can be addressed if we recognize them. The healing part of this can take time, no doubt. Perhaps right now you're a father and you're working hard to be a dad, but you constantly feel like you fail. Maybe you've failed as a dad and you're plagued with guilt. Maybe you're a single mom and you grieve for the dad you wish your kids had, and you're trying to fulfill both roles. That one, as I said, is near and dear to my heart, because in my first cousins, and my wife and I joke quite often how, Hispanic descent tend to have a large family. Well, she's obviously not, and her family's a lot larger than mine. But I have a handful of first cousins, beautiful, strong women. Most all of my cousins are single moms. So certainly I want to leave some encouragement for you single moms. You no doubt have a tough, tough role ahead. But God gives us hope, and we'll talk about that. No matter what our situation is, though, God has boundless grace and healing for each and every one of us. He's eager for us to come to Him with our Father needs. A fatherly correlation. What do I mean by that? Church, do you realize that your Father is your image of God? Let me say that again. Do you realize that your Father is your image of God? Our Father here on earth, how He treated us or didn't, how He is present or not, how His relationship was and is, gives us perhaps the most colors to even paint an image of God. A quote I found from Pastor says this: if we take time to reflect on our image of God, we can learn a lot about our spirituality. Throughout my years of ministry, people have shared with me how they view God. There are those who think God mostly as a judge or a policeman. For some, God is a strict father whom they fear and whom are not particularly close to. Others see God as a loving father who protects His people. Still others see God primarily in the person of Jesus. For them, God is a friend. How we view God has an effect on both our prayer and our faith. If we see God as a judge and very strict, vindictive parent, then we would probably conduct our lives out of fear. We tend to do what is good and obey the rules because above all, we are afraid of God's anger. We feel like God is watching every move to catch us in sin. We often think of God as up there and we're down here. We tend to live our faith out of fear. You see, the good times and the bad all go into molding how we see and can relate to God. Knowing this very thing is powerful. No matter how we grew up, no matter how our relationship is with our Father, by acknowledging our reality here on earth and dealing with it helps us to heal and grow closer to God. Certainly, it goes without saying that our biblical perspective can certainly give us the accurate image of God. But I would encourage us as fathers and mothers that before our kids can even see that, before our kids truly develop their own relationship, the very image they have is us. You see, it can totally be our image of what our relationship is like or isn't with our Father. And that can mean many things. It can be the good times and the times that weren't so good. You know, I can't tell you, I look at that second picture down from the left there with the Father pointing, or the one down here on the bottom right corner with the Father yelling in the face of His child. Man, I've walked alongside a lot of men, and I personally know what that's like, and I personally know how Christ has helped me to hopefully never do that to my children again, to discourage them, to again act in a way that does not honor God, that is certainly not patient and definitely not kind. You know, God is so much. He is our example. God the Father. God is love. God is present. He never has left me, ever. He is steadfast and unchanging. For the ones who had the unpredictable Father, He is not. He is true to His character. He is almighty. God is active. God is not passive. You see, God is active. He is not pushing children away, which when I say this, I am not talking about any one individual, but rather myself. There was a time in my life where I would push my kids away, so to speak. to watch some guys play some football. Be like, hey, you come back in about three, four hours. And that can be all fine, right? Let's not be legalistic about that. But when the fact of the matter is, when our kids come up to us and they truly need us, or we don't even take the time to see what it is they need, what their hearts need, it might seem insignificant to us, but if I'm not willing even to consider it. But see, that's not God. He's active all the time, always working. He's the perfect model for forgiveness. You see, part of this, of the wounds and the healing, is simply that God has boundless grace and healing for us. What he's done through his son is amazing. And that's where it really starts, acknowledging the wounds that we have as sons or daughters. Asking for forgiveness for those who are parents and know we have messed up. You know, to show our children how much we need Jesus perhaps can be one of the most beneficial things to them. So, challenge. I want you to identify your wounds and what is your personal image of God. You know, perhaps that's never even crossed your mind. Maybe your image has nothing to do with your father. If you do, I truly like to understand, because I have not met one person that hasn't. So maybe that is you. But what is your personal image of God? What is it? Fathers, imitate God. It's simple. It's going to require some of us to study up. It's going to require us to understand the scripture and memorize some of that scripture, the living, breathing word of God. But imitate God. And again, single mothers, what I would encourage you to do is that you try to incorporate and encompass your kids in activities where there are godly men present. And whether that's Sunday school, whether that's an uncle, grandpa, whatever it is, try to get them in touch with a man who knows his need for Jesus. The other things I would encourage are just to be in the Word. Discipleship is key. The training, whether it's men's group or walking alongside other men, perhaps a men's group setting. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the very faith, the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Let's not be that, church. Let's not. Let's change. Let's make the change at home. Let's make the change in the very relationships that are near to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for being a true example of a father. We thank you that no matter what we're struggling with, that you are in our lives, Lord God, to give us your wisdom and insight. Lord, we praise you for what you continue to do in our lives. And we thank you. Lord, as we talk about father wounds and the healing that comes from that, we just ask that you would help us to identify, Lord God. I mean, Lord, we lift up our burdens to you. Some of our hearts can be burdened. Some of them can be light because we recognize we have dealt with these very things. Lord, either way, we lift them up to you and ask that you would help us to focus on you and what it is you have for us. If it's forgiving our father for our earthly fathers for what they've done, help us to do that, love. Help us to forgive, God, as you've forgiven us. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for the many godly examples of men that we have in our lives. We just praise you for that. While our heads are still bowed, and if you've came here today and don't have that relationship with God the Father, if you don't have that relationship and desire to have that relationship, let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we all fall short of the standard of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it goes on to say, and the wages of that sin, the payment, the penalty of that sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you today, and you want to make that very life change, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer and you can follow along with me. Understanding that the prayer does not save you, but is that heartfelt change and acknowledgement that you need a Savior. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. And because of that sin, I know I need a Savior. Lord, I believe that you sent your Son to die on the cross and raised him again for me, Lord. And I ask that you come into my life and be the Savior and the boss and the Lord of my life. Change me today and help me live for you today. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, put your hand up and let God know you meant business. Thank you. Thank you. Lord God, we are just so incredibly grateful for what you have done in our lives. Lord, for those who have raised their hands, we just ask that you would begin the healing process and that you would show them how much you desire and want to have a relationship with them. Lord, we praise you for all that you have done in our lives, and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.